Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Jake from State Farm. I may have told her server you give her the Rogers rate for her insurance.
Well, that's just fine, considering the Rogers rate isn't real.
Yeah, but I'm sure you gotta probably pull some strings or something, you know.
Look, there's no string. Here's the deal. State Farm offers everyone surprisingly great rates.
Hey, we're in. Get the Rogers rate.
Oh, did you guys want some?
When you want the real deal, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Genesia, the commissioner of WBNN. For those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the TextNow app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
God gave me a gift to put people at ease. What I do is what I do. If I was to sit down and try to tell you, break it down, technically I couldn't because I don't know, and that's the goddamn honest truth. What I do is what I do. I hear a beat, I feel it, I write it, I say it.
And a bag of blue. Although I may be high profile, I keep a low profile. Stay calmly, but my arm is kind of wild. Mostly on the down low. Now and then I hear the disco. Sports milk, drink milk, never Cisco. I read the funnies, watch Bugs Bunny cartoons. And at the crib I dig Bob Marley yard tunes. I take a spin in my Lexus coupe. Sports sexy soup. Sip some sick, I sip chicken soup. I rip faces like a maniac. Lyrics like a brainiac. And shows get torn no matter where we at. A little bit more than better. I warm it up like a sweater. A money generator. Fly honey dip getter. Like I said before, thump in my trunk. That's all I really need. And a bag of blue funk. Can you dig? I got the flavor. If you don't believe me, just check with your neighbor. I get enough respect from the roughest roughneck. Kinda wicked and unruly when it comes to a mic check. Drive a deep, catch beats on and on. Never say much when I wreck, cause I'm a quiet storm. Most of the time I'm fooling in my crib, watching cable. And I got crazy honeys far from dummies in my stable. I'm well known in the hoods like a gangster. And when the time is right, I'd like to have a little hester. I bust raps that'll excite to death. And beats that make you stagger like the neighborhood winehead. I'm warming up like a heater or a funky, funky drummer beater. Brown sugar is sweeter, beats by Peter. Like I said before, thump in my trunk. That's all I really need, and a bag of blue funk. That's how I get up. When I walk the streets alone, I'm far from home, I keep my head up. Don't swing with many strangers, cause to me that's just a setup. If you're pushing up too close, I might be ghosting, you get wet up. Not in the showing off because I'm not the show on sight. I'd rather take my time writing rhymes and blowing up mics. Chill, just max, make loose, pay tax. All the ladies blow kisses, all the gents tip hats. I like to swing with girls, cause to me it's a ton of laughs. But after the gig is fast, we also take bubble baths. I was raised well, but now I raise hell. I worked hard to make a living, so now I'm living swell. I never have a problem in the streets, I'm too smooth for that. I never talk or walk with a gun, but run my crew with straps. Like I said before, thump in my trunk. That's all I really need, and a bag of blue funk. A bag of blue funk. A
Bronx, Queens, Manhattan, Long Island, Uptown.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a product of WBNN. This is A&M University. I am your host, Ambassador Wadet Mentuhotep L. On air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation. Brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia LLC. And tonight, our topic is Ghanaians of the diaspora, men and women from Ghana that live in other areas of the world, especially America. And ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce you all to a motivational and powerful good friend of mine, Her Royal Highness Queen Aminata, who is USA-born African of the Fulibe in Ashanti, Ghana, and installed queen in the Igbo Kingdom. And her passion is to help the African continent to develop modern farming, especially cattle ranching. And she is also a strong advocate of human/woman's rights, girl-child education, equality and equity in traditionally closed spaces. Also to include, her top skills are criminal justice, business development, marketing, and also languages that she knows as well are English, Fula, Akan, Jamaican Patois, and also Spanish. And so, Queen Aminata, Her Royal Highness Queen Aminata, the work that she does is very powerful and very strengthening to the people of Ghana and also worldwide. Queen Aminata, you have the floor for us to communicate with the ladies and gentlemen.
Peace and blessings, everyone. Very honored and pleased to be here today. Thank you, Your Excellency Ambassador Wadjet, for having me on the show. I'm very honored. Thank you.
What were some of the things, what had motivated you for us to start your journey to actually identify with the Fulibe.
The Fulibe, yes. So basically, you know, as you grow up and you go through different things in life and you're trying to make sense of the world around you and you see certain things, you know, people struggling, people being hungry, people not getting the rights that they deserve, or people being treated differently simply because of what they look like or how much money they have, it affects you, and it affects people differently. How it affected me was it made me want to get involved to figure out how or what I could do to make a difference and how I can stand in the gap and be a voice for those who feel like they don't have a voice, and how I can use the platform that was given to me to make the lives and enrich the lives of other people a little bit better. So my motivation stems simply from a love from humanity and a love for my people of African descent all over the world. And that's what motivates me, is because I see the condition of our people. It doesn't matter where you go on planet Earth, African people are suffering. And I don't like that. So I'm just trying to do what I can do with the platform I've been given in the space that I occupy in the time that I'm living to make a difference for the better for the generations that follow. Yes.
On your journey, how did you begin to identify with the Fulibe in Ashanti in Ghana? How did that begin for yourself?
So that began through DNA. So, you know, you run your DNA and it came back to that. And so how I actually met them was I do international work all over the world. And so I had an agriculture project. Well, let me back up. I had some friends on the continent of Africa that were living in Ghana. And so how I connected with the royals there was I had an agriculture project that I pitched to a friend of mine who lived in Ghana. And he introduced me to some people who introduced me to the royal family. And then when I traced my DNA back, come to find out that I was royal and a part of that clan, which was really exciting. So it was kind of like all a divine thing. But that's how I got connected with the royal family in Ghana. I pitched an agriculture project, and, you know, everybody knows somebody. So I pitched it to somebody. He knew somebody who knew the king. And then it just went from there.
When did you begin your journey in regards to agriculture?
I began my journey in agriculture. I'm going to say I was dabbling in it here and there, but I didn't get really serious about it till maybe 5 years ago is when I really got serious about it and started getting involved with different projects and researching things because, you know, I'm really big on the water shortage that the planet has. And so I was looking for ways that we can grow food using less water. That was my goal. That's how I got on this current path that I'm on, doing different research and different things and trying to figure out how can we feed people using less water, because it takes water to grow food. And if we have a water shortage on the planet and we run out of water or usable water or clean water or whatever to drink and everything else, then we're going to have a serious problem. So I set out on a mission to try to figure out a solution to the water problem, and that's what led me to my current path that I'm on right now.
Now, were there any associated with agriculture? Were there any like awesome innovators that of Ghana, or those who are Ghanaian American that are here in the Americas that you have come across that have great things to contribute to that particular task?
Not from Ghana. I'm not associated with anybody here in the States that's involved in agriculture that's actually from Ghana, although I am working with some Ghanaians here in the States, but on different projects. Currently, the people that I'm working with for this agriculture project that I'm currently undergoing, they're Americans, and then we have some investors from another country, but we're partnered with the people on the continent of Africa so that we're going to be using the African people for all of the labor and the work and all that kind of stuff.
And so as far as a student, how did your journey attaining your master's degree in administration, how did that help contribute to shaping your journey?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that? I'm having a hard time hearing you.
I said with the master's degree that you had attained in administration, how did that help fashion yourself for your journey that you're on right now?
So how that helped was, you know, because I run a couple of businesses, and that's where the administration thing really came in handy, because I had to understand different aspects of business and management, actually, how to manage people, how to run different aspects of a business, how to do research, because that's a big part of it. I had to do a lot of research to learn about agriculture, because I did not go to school for agriculture. I did not go to school for, you know, water, anything like that. So I had to do a lot of research and learn a lot of things, and I'm still learning every single day. And what I've learned on my journey is that, you know, you can't know everything, and I don't know everything. I don't know everything. So what I try to do is I try to partner with people that know things that I don't, so that we have a complete team. So that's where I'm at right now. So my degree in administration helped me to learn how to research, to learn how to put different pieces of the puzzle together to form the big picture. That's, I think, where it mainly came into helping me, was learning how to research, learning how to properly write, because, you know, in graduate school you do a lot of writing. And so that is the main part that it helped with, because I think if I didn't have the discipline to research in things, I wouldn't be where I'm at today.
Awesome. Matter of fact, also been seen that you are the founder and CEO of Black Wall Street Arizona Incorporated. And so I see that you are the CEO and founder of Black Wall Street Arizona Incorporated. So how did that enter into your journey?
So how Black Wall Street came about was, you know, when I was growing up, it was normal for us in our household. My parents always, we shopped black first. And if we couldn't shop black first, we always went to like the black salesman so they could get the commission. That was just a normal thing growing up in our household. I was raised that way. So when I moved out on my own and started noticing that most of our people that I was in contact with anyway didn't even think like that. They didn't do that. And I didn't understand that, because I was like, but group economics is important. You have to circulate the dollar within your own community. This is how I was raised. I understood it. And I saw that a lot of our people didn't understand it. They never heard of it. They didn't think it was important or anything like that. So I set out on a mission to start a company that would do just that, teach people the importance of group economics, teach people about finance and how to manage your household money, teach people about legacy building, teach people about wealth building and how to leave something for the next generation, for your children, other than debt. So that's what Black Wall Street Arizona was founded on. That's what it's all about, and that's what they do. And that's how I got on that path, because when I was raised a certain way, to think a certain way, to see things a certain way, and then when I got out on my own and realized that probably, at least back then, was not the norm, I found a problem with that. So I sought to fix that problem by starting with my own community at home and teaching our people. I think we're at a place now where we're having an awakening and people are waking up to these facts and it's getting better, but we still have a long way to go.
Yes, we do. One day at a time. And also we have our track
next. One day
at
a time, exactly.
Also we have our track next by international DJ legend, Brother O. a product of WBNN. This is A&M University, and I'm your host, Ambassador Wadet Mentuhotep L, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Dial in at 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation, brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. The topic tonight is Ghanaians of the Diaspora, men and women of Ghana that live in other areas of the world, especially America. We have as our guest, continuing, Her Royal Highness, Queen Aminata. Now, if anyone has any questions, please dial 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation. Now, as we continue, Your Royal Highness, Queen Aminata, it is seen that in regards to Black Wall Street, Arizona, that it was initiated as the first Pan-African inspired. It had actually initiated what's known as Diaspora Day, Arizona, in 2016. That sounds really very, very cool. Actually, how did that come about?
So, for Diaspora Day Arizona, what happened with that was actually that was a really exciting time. What happened with that was, you know, out in Arizona at that time, the different, you know, we're all Africans, but we have, you know, there's Black Americans, there's people from the Caribbean, there's people from the continent, and we were all living here, but we didn't really commune with each other. We didn't fellowship with each other. We didn't, you know, go to the same nightclubs and things like that. So we were divided. And so me and my team were like, what can we do to bring everybody together and learn about each other and start having those conversations and, more importantly, start doing business with each other? And so we came up with that idea, Diaspora Day Arizona. And what that is it's a day, it's a festival, and it's a day where we bring everybody together in the park. We have vendors, we have entertainment, we have foods from different ethnic groups and parts of the world, whatever's represented out here in Arizona. We come together, it's open to the public for a day of celebration of culture, of food, of music, of vendors, all of that for one day of celebration of togetherness in the park. So that's what started that. We haven't had one since COVID hit. We're going to probably look at starting that back up, but that is the premise behind Diaspora Day Arizona. We wanted to bring together different people of the African diaspora and show the beauty of the diaspora. Even though we're divided and spread out all over the world, we have a culture, and it's unique and it's beautiful. And we wanted to just share that with the entire state of Arizona.
All right, Waja, are you there? All right.
Oh, yes, I am here.
Make sure you get yourself unmuted, man. This young lady is waiting to talk to you.
That's an awesome and empowering effort, you know, an actual empowering accomplishment too, and inspiring also. Now, in regards to how will Black Wall Street Arizona establish a connection with the work that is occurring in Ghana?
So what we did to link those two things together, we developed a company called Black Wall Street Africa, which services the entire continent of Africa, and it's based in Ghana. So that's where we run all of our international business through the continent. We run it through that company. So that's how we linked the two together.
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome. Matter of fact, in regards to that was interesting when you brought up about how in the Americas, especially in Arizona, of how there are those who are from Africa that dwell in Arizona, and also melanated people who dwell in the Americas who are from the Americas, that at a point they did not commune together, because as far as here in Pennsylvania, it's happening a bit for the past couple of years, like a little bit, but not where it's major between where it's a constant, consistent, habitual thing, you know, as a regular practice. You know, so far as for you being a part of pioneering that effort for with the people of Arizona, I definitely am excited about that and commend that as well. So what were some of the social barriers that had manifested far as on that journey of completing that mission?
Well, say that one more time, please.
I'm saying what were some of the social barriers that you had seen in your area between those who are of Africa that dwell in Arizona and melanated people who are from America?
So I'm just going to speak for myself and things that have been said to me. So not so much now, but back then, people used to say things like, yeah, you guys are, you know, you look like us, but you're not real Africans because you guys are mixed blood. You know, you guys are the product of slaves, and you guys are mixed with all kind of stuff, so you're not authentic. That was the main thing that I heard. Or you're not like us because you only speak the colonizer's language. You guys, you know, we speak 4 and 5 and 6 different languages where we come from, and you guys don't even have your own native tongue. You know, Caribbean people at least have some form of patois or pig Latin or whatever. You guys don't have this and that. So that was like the major thing that I personally was experiencing, is that they were looking at us as different because, at least for in the United States, we were stripped of everything, language. I mean, we were stripped of everything. So we didn't maintain, in many cases, a lot of some of the traditions and things that came from the continent. We didn't really maintain those over the years, like some of the Caribbean countries did. And I think that's mainly because of, you know, we're not the majority here. So we lost a lot of stuff. So because of that, sometimes we're looked at as less African or not really African. And that's what I was experiencing out here. So I just set out on a mission to change that narrative. I think now that might be getting a little bit better, just even globally. But back then, that was a real problem for me out here, because I have a lot of friends that are from the continent, and that's what they thought. You know, you're cool and everything, you know, Queen Aminata, you're cool and everything, but you're not African, because, you know, you don't speak any of the native tongues, you don't eat the same food, whatever they came up with, they came up with. And so I just thought that narrative could be changed if we got to know one another, because, you know, it's easy to assume things about people when you don't mix and mingle with them. So when we started just setting out, I started just going to the African clubs and going to the, you know, Caribbean spots and so we could get to know each other. And that's kind of where it all started. And then it just developed from there.
Also, Your Highness, we have caller one in the queue. Caller one, please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, I'm Jerry Petito. Hi, Wadad. How are you?
I'm feeling great, Jerry. It's great to hear you chime in.
Yeah, sweetie. I wanted to say hello to you and your beautiful guest, the Queen. Hi, how are you?
Peace and blessings.
To you as well. You know, I do have a question. I'm listening to everything you're saying, and being Caucasian, I don't know a lot of the things that are really happening, and some of the things you're saying kind of surprised me. So sometimes you're actually, how can I say this? So people have, like, shown you racism in your own culture?
Say that one more time.
Okay, so other African Americans have shown you racism because you're not from where they are from or you don't speak their language?
I wouldn't call it racism because they've never discriminated against me or anything. I've always been
good.
Welcome, but they just view me as non-African. They see me as an American.
Oh, got it. No, I feel better now. Okay. I misunderstood that because I was upset about that. Okay, good. My daughter-in-law is African American, and my granddaughter's part also. And, you know, I look at things so differently. I grew up not even knowing there was a difference in color. My father was from Italy, and he was an amazing man. And I lived in New York, and I moved to New Jersey when I was in seventh grade, and that's when I started realizing things were different. It was so different back then in New York. It was amazing. So just hearing you talk. So I want to thank you for what you're doing. I mean, God bless you.
Thank you very much, and it's a pleasure speaking with you.
Yes, you're beautiful, and so are you, Wade. I miss you, man. How you doing?
Feeling great. Feeling great. You know, just keeping the pace one day at a time. And also, would you like to let the ladies and gentlemen know when your show is?
Sure. I have a fun show coming up, okay? So my show is September 20th, Tuesday night. And Brother O is going to love this. My guest co-host is Justin. He's been my guest co-host now and again, and Brother O loves him. But my guest is Rhonda Michelle Ryder. She was from Circle Season 3 comedian show. So it's going to be fun.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't wait for that to come up and about.
So, again, I wanted to say thank you to both of you. God bless you both.
Thank you again.
Thank you.
Jerry. All right. Now, also. We have our track next by the international DJ legend, Brother O.
I know you're gonna dig this.
dope that rhyme that is always being taken by a sucker MC that wants to be like me. No trait of originality, but yo, I am not one to down another. So like I said before, just go for your sucker. I'm gonna take the time to drop a dope line, or maybe even two, for you and your crew, so you can start shaking and moving all around to the light DMC and the king of chill sound. It's new and improved like a freshly cut diamond. Perfect timing like a gem is shining, or better yet, a ruby somewhat like a sapphire. This jam you're forced to admire. Yeah.
Look, look.
Now that's strange behavior. Drink and drive, yeah, you're probably safer. Cause when I start, I never give slack. You feel like a kick me sign with pain to your back. Yes, I'm a super duper with the rope a doper. I got the clean drawers on, yeah, I hope you do. Because I'm gonna strip you of your peace of mind. Now your peace is mine, damn, that's unkind. Come on, admit it, the light is too fly. The rhymes that I say, you can't deny. Because 100% is what I give it.
Say what?
I haunt the house with the hip-hop spirit. Prepare it, like your hand-me-down, make you wear it. Save all your crocodile tears, grin and bear it. And with all your other brothers, you're gonna share it. You hear me, Junior, Junior. Be a grown man with the mic in your hand. And understand, bite is not part of the plan. That's wrong, I thought I taught you better than that. But that's what you get from a stabber in the back.
Stop, stop, look, look.
Let it be short that life DMC is taking on short. In 88 I was great, but 89 is my time. Stop, look, and listen to the right rhyme. K-Rock the DJ throws the cuts my way. Put them on the reel or reel and let them play. Leg one and leg two, they do the jumping, the dancing, the pumping, always up to something. But when it comes to the rap category, MC Life headlines the story.
Me, DJ Olas.
Oh yeah, hot track by the legendary DJ Brother Olaski. And this is a product of WBNN. And this is A&M University. And I am your host, Ambassador Juan Dent, Mentu Hotep L. This is the show, A&M University. On air now from Lagos, Nigeria, and dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation. Brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. And our topic today is Ghanaians of the diaspora, men and women from Ghana that live in other areas of the world, especially America. We are here with our guest, Royal Highness Queen Aminata. And we have caller 2 in the queue. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, peace and blessings, Wajet, and peace and blessings to your guests.
Peace and blessings.
Yes, this is the best.
Peace and blessings.
Hi, Sister Bessie. How are you? Thank you for chiming in.
I'm fine. I'm enjoying your show, and I'm enjoying your guests. I have a question. Long time ago, we were told that when immigrants come over, especially from Africa, they were told not to associate with the black or the people of color in this country. They would show them a film and tell them that they should not socialize with us if they wanted to stay in the country. So what's your opinion on that?
Thank you very much for the question, and peace and blessings to you as well. This is what I can say to that. I don't know what's happening officially, but what I can tell you is that on the continent, there is a large misunderstanding about so-called Americans, because they, like we over here, only know what they see on TV and in the movies. So they're not told any positive things about us over there, just like we're not told a lot of positive things about them. And that's done intentionally. And so what I can tell you is that all the stereotypes that we hear about our people over here, where, you know, we don't work and all we do is party and we're not serious and we're on drugs and we steal and all that stuff, those are the same things that they're told on the continent about us, all those stereotypes. And so when they come here, there is a little bit of apprehension on the part of some of them, and that's why I'm a firm believer in it's very important for us to mingle and get to know one another on a personal level, because that's the only way we're going to break down these things. We don't own the media, so we don't own the narrative that's portrayed about our people globally. So we really don't have a lot of control in that area, but where we do have control is in our own communities, in the own places that we live, is putting forth the effort to change that narrative and get to know one another on a personal level.
Thank you.
That's what I would say to that.
What they have done, they have intentionally kept the Africans and people of color around the world separated. And I thank you for what you do and for what you have brought to the table for people of color. And I just want to thank you for all that you do. And I thank you, Wajet, for bringing your guests on. She's a wonderful guest, and you are a wonderful host.
Oh, thank you, sister. Thank you, Sister Bessie. Appreciate you very much, and much gratitude. And thank you for chiming in. Would you please like to inform ladies and gentlemen about your up and coming show?
Yes, I'm the Truther from the Front Porch. I will be on this Friday, the 16th. And
awesome.
Peace and blessings to everyone.
Thank you very
peace
much for those kind words
blessings.
You spoke. Peace and blessings.
And also we have caller 3 in the queue. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Yes, hello, Ambassador Wajet. And how are you also, Royal Highness Ashanti? This is Antonia Batts. And I have a question also. The group that you deal with the dysphoria, do they invest a lot of the ecology? Because after all, we know if it wasn't for, you know, people protecting the ecology, especially with all this global warming and climate change going on and the spewing of poisons into the air and the waterways, do you all reach out to other groups across the world and speak on that? Because really there are a lot of people of all types of backgrounds who really believe in what you all believe in as well, like preserving the earth and its natural habitat. So we don't have to be victims of anything that go wrong. If God forbid anything occurred with all of this wildfires and whatever else go on. So I think it's good that you set the tone to let them see how it's supposed to be done out there. And do you all collaborate with other groups and speak on it in other countries?
Thank you for the question. So right now what we have is we have a for-profit company that's doing business in those areas. So we do work with other groups that are focused on that, but we don't have a group per se or a nonprofit that's dedicated to that. So what we don't do, or at least we're not doing currently, is going around to different places and speaking on the topics, because right now we're bringing innovation to the continent to to work on solving some of the issues and employ the people and feed the people and do things like that. So we haven't branched out into actually going to different places and speaking on these topics. No, we have not done that as of yet, but that doesn't mean we won't in the future.
Well, thank you very much for your investment in all that you do, because a lot of people, they need to follow your example on what it takes to protect whatever you can of the earth and what's left of it, because this issue of global warming is becoming more and more challenged as time goes on, and they speak on it often. So it makes you suspicious as to what goes on, that they don't follow the same example. And it was nice meeting you, and I appreciate everything that you do. Thank you, Brother Ambassador Wazette.
Thank you. Thank you for chiming in on the line and participating. Definitely. That much gratitude, and that's greatly appreciated. And also, would you like to inform ladies and gentlemen about your upcoming show as well?
Okay, she might be going there. That's okay. Continue the show and I interview.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Now, Your Royal Highness, Queen Aminata, it is also seen that that you have received recognition from the African Diaspora Kingdoms Alliance Council of Kings and Queens. How did that come about?
So,
what's their mission and how did that come about?
So what that is it's a council of traditional leaders from all across the continent of Africa. It's called the African Kingdoms Diaspora Alliance. And what happened with me was I was embraced by that council, which means my queenship is recognized by over, I think it's 1,500 and something different tribes across the continent. So I'm not just the queen of Fulbe in Ghana. My queenship is also recognized in other countries by many, many other tribes through that council.
Wow, that's mind blowing for real. That is mind blowing. Now, how would that help to empower the efforts of the administration skills that you have, and also the topic of agriculture that you're attracted to?
Well, how that helps is that now I have access to more kingdoms, which means I have access to more people and the ability to help more people as the project grows. So I think that's very important because, you know, I know that, you know, the continent is divided up into all these little small countries and stuff, but we know that back in the day, the continent of Africa didn't have countries, they had kingdoms, right? It was all one place. And so I think it's very important that they have formed this council so that all these different tribes, leaders, traditional leaders of these different ethnic groups and tribes are coming together as one people. That's what it signifies to me, and that's very important because, you know, all this division, all this tribalism and stuff, it doesn't work to our favor. And so the more things we can do to bring ourselves together and understand that we are one, and we're all, I like to say we're all in the same storm, but some of us might have a ship, some of us might have a boat, some of us might just have a raft, some of us might just have, you know, a life vest on, but we're all in the same storm, and it's going to take all of us working together in unison to get ourselves out of it. So we need to start seeing ourselves as one people. We're not all in the same boat because we all have different resources and different access to different things, but we all are in the same storm, and we all need to be doing whatever we can in the space that we've been given in whatever platform we have, no matter how big or small, it matters. Whatever you can do, it matters. And so that's why I think that council is very important, because people are actually coming together and setting aside tribal differences, religious differences, language barriers, or whatever, to come together and say, hey, let's talk about what's going on, and not just talk about it, but actually put some plans together and actually go out and do something about it. That's what makes that council important.
Wow. That also is very impactful as well. And that leads to a question. When growing up, did you have any premonitions that you would be where you are right now, or any signs in life as you were growing up?
You know, I really didn't, but I always knew in my mind, you know, sometimes you just know that you're meant for something different than what you're doing, but you may not know what it is. And so you just go doing little things, and then doors start to open, and then you walk through that door, and then something else happens, and you walk through that door, and then the next thing you know, you're walking in your purpose. We all have a purpose. And once you figure out what that purpose is, life changes. That's what I can say to everybody listening. Figure out what your purpose is and walk in your purpose. You will be happy. You will be making a difference in your realm in ways that you never even thought possible. And it will surprise you, the doors that will open to you when you're walking in your purpose. I believe that I'm walking in my purpose. I'm doing what I was destined to do, what I was created to do. And I love what I do. And I think this is what I was called to do, and I'm gonna keep going no matter what happens. It doesn't stop me. You know, everything doesn't always work out as we think. Everything is not perfect, and sometimes the road is hard. The road is hard, but you keep going. You keep going, and you keep going. And believe me when I tell you, if you find out what your purpose is, no matter what it is, it's important and it matters. Walk in your purpose. I didn't know what my purpose was back then. I just knew that I had a calling, and it was something was drawing me to just get involved and help people and make a difference, because I get tired of all the talk. I'm an action person. And no matter what I do, no matter how small it is, it matters. And so I just want to encourage everybody that's listening, never think that it's not enough or it's too small. Never think that way, because everything starts someplace. And as you just need to take that first step, get started, and then just build on it from there. Just build on it from there.
Wow. That's sharp. That is sharp. That is sharp and very on point, very straightforward to the people as well. Like, what does civil service mean?
So to me, civil service means just that you serve, and you serve selflessly, and you serve in the capacity in which you've been given. So in other words, let me say this. So you can't, when you're serving the people, sometimes you don't get to pick and choose, I want to do this and not that. Sometimes you do, but sometimes things come to you and you just have to jump in and serve. You may not even know how to serve or what that's going to look like, but you jump in and then it works out. So to me, civil service is getting involved in something that you're passionate about. And what you're going to be passionate about is your calling. That's your purpose. If you're passionate about something, your purpose lies somewhere within that passion. And so you need to follow that. And I'm not saying if you have a job, quit your job and follow your passion, because you got to pay bills. You're going to start small, and then eventually, hopefully, it'll turn into something that you can do full time. You just need to get started. So for me, civil service means just that. You find out what you're passionate about, where you can make a difference in humanity. Civil service is serving humanity. It's the service of others. It's the service of others. It's not for self-glorification. It's not for self-gratification, even though you're going to feel satisfied because you're walking in your purpose, like I said before. But it's about other people. Whatever you can do to uplift somebody else, to encourage somebody else, to give somebody else a leg up, that's what you do. You serve other people. So to me, civil service is just what it says. It's serving. Civility, serving humanity. You just serve in whatever capacity you can do that.
I feel that. It sounds like civil service is God's plan. God's plan.
That's it.
God's plan. You gotta
That's
that.
It.
State that for the record.
That's what it is. And you got to figure out what that is, because, and this is something else I like to tell people, everybody doesn't need to understand what your mission is, because the mission was given to you, not them.
So if people don't understand, they don't have to, because it's not their mission, it's yours. As long as you understand it and you're walking in your God-given purpose, don't worry about what other people think, because the mission was given to you. It's yours to fulfill, not theirs. They have their own. That's what I want to say, because people will come to you and try to discourage you and say this and that. Don't even listen to that talk. The mission was given to you. It's yours. Own it.
Facts. Facts, 100%. Now, with the work that you have been doing, has that also attracted your immediate family to cooperate with you along that journey as well?
No. They support me, but I can't say that they're actively involved at the way that I am. And again, that goes back to, we all have a different purpose. They're doing their own thing in their lane to what they've been called to do. And it's a little bit different from what I'm doing, but they still serve people, if that makes sense. One of my relatives owns a daycare center. That's a service that she provides to people. It's not the same thing that I do, but that's her calling. She helps in that way. So everybody in my family is doing something. They're walking in their own purpose, which is a little different from mine, and that's okay. We all support one another in different ways. They're not supportive, but they don't do the same thing that I do.
Comprehended. Now, how did your skills in like criminal justice play a role in your journey? You know, did you use any of those skills, like with Black Wall Street Arizona or the African diaspora kingdoms?
Well, I think my experience in the criminal system is what helped shape my worldview, because, you know, the criminal justice system, there's really no justice in it, because it's based off of many different factors that are unjust. And so I think just having that insight is what shaped me into the person I am today, because that's why I'm a strong advocate for equality and equity. Because I see all the injustice in the world, because I was working in it every day. I seen it come across my desk every single day. I talked to people on the streets that were suffering because of injustice every single day. You see what I'm saying? And when you're faced with that reality and you have a heart for humanity and a heart for people, especially your people, your African people, you don't want to see them suffering like that. So then at some point you have to stand up and say, you know what, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to start speaking about this, because this is not right. So I'm a big advocate for, when you see something, say something. Do what you can about it. It's going to be uncomfortable, and sometimes you're the only person standing up, but you got to stand up. Because if we don't stand up, it's never going to change. And so I think working in the criminal justice system is what shaped me into the advocate that I am today, because I saw firsthand what was going on with our people, and I knew it wasn't right. And it changed me in a way that it made me more bold, and it gave me a stronger voice, because I was determined to speak out against it.
Awesome. And I see how that ties into, I see how those particular characteristics that you had mentioned and built off of connect with the, not only the agriculture, but also the civil service as well, how those two connect, how they connect together in regards to serving the people. And then, and also with regulating, how ensuring that they have a balanced place of communication between each other, you know, and with conflict resolution and conflict prevention and observation as well. And so to make the bonds and bridges a lot stronger.
Yes.
So now, For those particular skills in like criminal justice, like where did you receive your education?
Arizona State and Northern Arizona universities. So I went
awesome.
Yeah.
How was that, as far as with that educational, how was that educational experience for yourself?
I would say it wasn't a bad experience, but what I am going to say is that, you know, the state of Arizona has a very small population of us. So it's a little different because when you live in an environment where you don't see your people all the time, and when you do, they are struggling or they're caught up in the system, and it just changes you in a way that's a little different because you don't really get to see a lot of the, it's different now, but back then you don't really get to see a lot of the success stories. So going to school, you know, they teach you all these things, which some of it is, I would say, just propaganda. And then as you get into it, you start learning certain things are a little different. But for the most part, I think the education experience was a positive one because it opened my eyes up to a lot of different things. And sitting in the classroom, I can say this, sitting in the classroom with people who don't really understand that the system is not just, and watching them learn that and seeing their eyes get open to a new reality that they didn't know before, because like everybody else, they only know what they see on TV. They come into the school thinking that, you know, most of our people steal and stuff like that. And then when you get in there and they start learning all these things about how unjust the system really is, and they start taking these classes, I think that's a really a positive thing, because you know, the more people know, you hopefully they go out and do better. So, yeah.
Say what? Say what? Say what? Come on, Sam. Yeah. Yeah. Man from the motherland. You see, they call me a star, but that's not what I am. I'm a jungle brother, a true blue brother, and I've been to many places you'll never discover. Step to my side, suckers running hot. Africa's in the house, they get petrified. You wanna know why? I'll tell you why. Because they can't stand the sight of the jungle eye. They never fight a fuss, they never curse a cuss. They just stand on the side and stare at us. They get out of line, I put them on a vine and give them one big push for all mankind. There ain't nothing to it, I just go ahead and do it. I lay down the jungle sound and run right through it. And when I'm on the mic, I never stutter or stumble, cause I'm a jungle brother. Straight out the jungle.
Cool and quiet, but quick to start up a riot. I write the rhyme, bums and sticks to bite it. I wear no gold around my neck, just black medallion. I show the homes of three black stallions. I don't care for fear, cause fear fears me. Out of 10 ways of dying, the first my G. I'm harder than the hardest, hardest hard can get. Africa and I was Sammy B's on the set. I kicked the rhyme through the girl and she became my pet. I let the sucker some juice and now he's still in debt. The sucker said he wasn't scared but stealing all he sweat. A poor man became rich because of me he bet. My brother's searching high and low, they're looking for me. Where will they find me?
In the J-U-N-G-L-E.
Struggles to survive, struggle, just to stay alive. Cause inside the jungle, either you do or you die. You got to be aware, you got to have the jungle life. Take it from a brother who knows, my friend. The animals and cannibals will do you in.
Cut your throat,
stab you in the back.
The untamed animals just don't know how to act. It's unbelievable.
Uncivilized.
and now I'm starting to realize. Danger in the jungle.
Jungle,
the jungle means danger.
Danger.
Tension intense, hearts filled with anger.
Anger.
Men killing men just because of one's color. In this lifetime, I see nothing dumber, so I think. Before I make a move, make sure my rhyme goes along with the groove. Never backing on a brother when it's time to rumble. My name's Mike G,
Mike G.
And I'm straight out with jungle.
This is a product of WBNN. This is A&M University, and I'm your host, Ambassador Wadette Mentuhotep L, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Dial in at 516-453-9133. And press 1 to join the conversation brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. And caller 4 in the queue, please state your name and where you're calling from.
This is Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia, tapping in, you know what I'm saying? Salute to the brother YJ, you know what I'm saying? Salute to the queen, you know what I mean? But first, brother, how you feeling tonight?
I got one thing. I'm feeling excited.
Check this out. I want to drop something on you, man. I want to congratulate you on your WBNN all-time connection record with your 7th all-time win in the historical Darlene Lawrence Championship honoring our late Hall of Famer, brother. How you feel about that?
Yeah, I feel excited and with much gratitude to the WBNN and Ngozi Time Multimedia family, you know, and much gratitude to DJ Legend, Brother O.
Yes, sir.
And also,
while I'm on here real quick, because I want to elaborate on a few things real quick, because you know I keep it swift. You know, and this is with these continents here. See, because there's this flip side to this coin, and there's very much truth, sadly. There's very much truth to what the native Africans say about African Americans, you know, in regards to their lack of the culture, their lack of knowing the languages, and all these different things, and the you know, just the results of what, you know, the colonizations and what they were speaking of, you know what I mean? This is the truth, you know what I mean? You know, and sadly, you know, we are out of touch with cultures, you know what I'm saying? But the flip side to that coin is that a lot of Africans that I know, I have many friends, you know, I come up, I've been out here geographically, you know what I'm saying? So I have a lot of friends that come from Africa, and believe it or not, they tell me, you know what I'm saying, really the pretty much so, only the scumbag Africans want to come here, you know what I'm saying? You know, they want to leave there to come here. A lot of them, not saying all of them, but a great handful of them, that, you know, they come from rich places or wealthy places, and then they just come here. Just this is their amusement park, so to speak, is what I've heard. So you know what I mean. So either way, it's the flip side to the coin. You know what I mean. We just have to be this people. Be more guided. Pay attention to what's legislated out here and what's authenticated. You know what I'm saying. We gotta pay attention, people. I'm Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia. Out here checking satellites.
Oh, and Clap One, would you like to let the ladies and gentlemen know about when your next show is?
Oh, man, you know what? I believe my next show would be the 7th or the 8th. I'm not sure. Brother O, could you help me out on this one?
For first of all, Clav, I'm going to let YJet know where we're going to manual because his teleprompter is not working at this time. So we're going to go into manual situations, but and we're proud of that. So our brother Clav won your show, and I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Your show will
who
be outstandingly on the 5th of October. How about that?
5th, y'all. 5th. October 5th, y'all. Y'all heard that. It's going down. Have your helmets on. Have your shoulder pads on. You know what I'm saying? Old people, have your depends on because you never know what might happen.
You know what? Back left. All right, we're going to go into manual mode and get these callers on. We have another caller on that I can talk to you at this time. Caller number 5. You're live right now with Wajet Mental Hotep L and A&M University right here at WBNN.
It's Long Wakadus Barakatu. How you doing, Ambassador Wadette? How you doing, fam?
I'm feeling great. And high in spirits.
And how are you,
high
Queen?
In soul.
How are you doing? I am really, really enjoying the show. Definitely enjoying all that y'all have shared so far. Now, let me introduce myself. My tribal name is Huni Bak Atun. My pen and stage name is the Magic Man Haru. You know, there's a lot of things that have kept us divided for such a long time. And being a descendant or a person who didn't come to America by way of slave ship, I came by way of another boat, actually. But the best thing I can say is anything that is used as a tool to keep us divided, especially when it comes to religion. Anything that we don't control, I mean all of it, in regards to however we think that, you know, we belong in that particular religion, if we're not controlling it, that's where the key is. And religion has been one of the main things that had divided, conquered, and separated us, and even up to this day today. Okay, so there won't be no physical unification until there's mental unification. And right now, people have been divided in mind for such a long time, okay? And it's just that simple. It's just that simple, okay? And if you think about the continent, the mother continent of Africa, as well as this over here in this great land, with all the riches and stuff like that that was placed under our feet as natives to this entire planet in regards to wherever you are, the original people are natives to this entire planet. So in regards to wherever we are, wherever we were born at, wherever we descended, it's a matter of fact of reclaiming complete ownership, starting with ourselves first, starting with our minds, our bodies, and then we can take control of anything else that we put our minds to. Okay? Now, I am a host of We Will Aware You. My show is coming up next week. I'll be doing the third and final segment or advancement on Mission Planet Earth, where I'll be speaking about the fallen ones. That'll be at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Hoon, for chiming in.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you so much.
All right. Well, first of all, I'm so glad our sister is still here, and she's going to, you know, give us our, you know, final thoughts, you know, very, very soon. But we have some, you know, time, y'all. So press 1 if you want to talk to the host and his wonderful guest. Caller number 7, you're live right now with A&M University, Wajet Mitohotep.
Hello, hello, hello. Good evening, all. I just want to say one love to the brothers, everybody that went before, and to the host, to the brothers, the kings, Brother O, Brother Huni, Cliff. I'm loving the show. I came in right on the right time. I love everything the host said, Queen. I felt you. I felt you. And I just want to shout you out. I felt the robbery if I didn't come on to say thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing that because I was right there with you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for providing your kind words. Much, much gratitude. Much gratitude.
All right. Got another caller. We got another caller online. And it's a wonderful – and thank you so much, Nicole Williams, as always a great supporter of our network. All right, call number 8. You're live right now. YJ Mental Hotep L Championship Night right here at WBNN, where we get in, where we fit in.
Hi, this is Tiana Speaks. How are you?
Doing great. Doing great. Thank you, Kiana Speaks, for chiming in.
No problem. I just wanted to thank the Queen for everything that she's done. But I wanted to know, as a person living in America, how can someone like me assist you in furthering your cause?
Thank you very much for the question. I'm very honored to be speaking. So I have an organization that we started in line with what we're doing with the unification called the Diaspora African Kingdoms Alliance.
Okay.
You can get involved with that. We are people to get in.
Hold on, Sister Queen. Your line is breaking up now. So get closer to the mic.
Okay,
so,
I thought it was
and say
me.
Everything you just said. Say everything you just said again, please. Thank you.
Okay. We have an organization called the Diaspora African Kingdoms Alliance. That is where you can get involved in a major way in everything that we're doing. We currently only have a LinkedIn page and a website at diasporakingdoms.org. You can reach out to us there, or you can just email me personally at info@queenaminata.com, and we can talk about it and see where
awesome.
We can find some synergy and get you involved. Most
okay.
definitely.
I just wanted to make one more comment about, when Club One called in about Africans coming over here. So let me tell you, my mother, she got married in Ghana some years back, and she's American, and he is the most amazing person that my mother could have married, and, a lot of people, I guess, don't realize some of the conditions in some of the places. Africa's a big place. People come over here sometimes for a different opportunity that they don't have over where they're from, So
right.
It's not like, everyone's just coming over here, I know that he might have been told that this, a quote-unquote scumbag Africans coming here, but there's a lot of different stories. Like, there's people who have to worry about being, murdered, from a lot of things that happen over in the villages, My stepfather's family is definitely one of those things where his sister had to flee from the country so she wouldn't be killed. There's a lot of things that go on over there that a lot of people don't know. It's not everywhere in Africa,
right.
I'm not saying that, but a lot of people come over. So I just wanted to say that because, even though I have never been to Africa, I am very aware of a lot of things that go on, and a lot of people do come over here. I'm not saying this is the best place to come, but they come to, for a better opportunity at times. So it's not someone who's just, seeking, they're just seeking for a better environment, And let me tell you, my stepdad is the most amazing person that my mother could have even decided to marry, So I definitely, he's from Nigeria. But I just wanted to say that because I didn't want to leave that on there, make that comment about, Africans. So I just wanted to say that.
Thank you for that. It's very true what you're saying.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of professional people that come over here too. So they come over here and get the better paying job so they can send money back to the family. So it's not just scumbags that come here. It's very true.
Yeah. My
I don't like calling anybody in our – and I just don't really like calling any African people of color, or anything scumbags, really.
Right.
We're all in a different, situation. I don't know. That's just for me.
We don't know what anyone's going through, whether they have money or not.
Correct.
You never know what their situation is over there with whatever country that they're from. They could be just trying to better their family's lives, just trying to do better, and this is the place they chose because this is, it's a place for easy, a lot of opportunities, that some other countries may not provide, and I know one I do like give honor to the African people because I know they definitely help with family. Like I learn a lot from the African people who have came over here just from me, as being American, sometimes you can be blindsided, not blindsided, I would say, but you can be so stuck in your American culture and not realize that there's other things, you know, and how you just communicate, how you do things daily in life. You can learn a lot from a lot of different cultures, and I've learned a lot from African people just about myself and things that I need to change as an individual. So, you know, just wanted to say that. And
very
I thank
true.
You for everything you've done from the time you started, you know. So, and I definitely look forward
thank
to
you.
Helping you in any way I can. No, and it's a pleasure to talk
Please
to you.
Reach out to me. Please reach out to me.
I will. I will. I 100%
okay.
will.
Okay, thank
and
you.
And thank you, Brother O, for having this wonderful platform. And a thank you to the host for having an amazing guest.
Well, thank you so much. And, of course, like I said, we are on manual transmission right now. And I want to thank all the people that called in. I got my last track, and then we go into final thoughts. And then mind cozy time. Let's get it in. Oh, boy.
This one definitely goes out on a censorship tip. So everybody sit back, relax, and have a champagne sip. We gonna teach these people out there who are against saying what we wanna say the right way. You know what I'm saying? So what we gonna do is kick back, swing a little funky beat by my man DJ P-Rock, producer extraordinaire. Yo, P-Rock, make it clear. I can flex, bend, lend a pen to a friend. Keep a party pimping from now till then. I don't have to swear, curse, or juggle. Lyrics in the verse to make a party bubble. So Mr. Censorship, tell me what's your problem? The girlie's on the corner, his wife, you can't solve them. How did she say it? I'm curious, G. Does she say, honey, love me, or baby, baby, fund me? Anyway, we'll say what we want to say. Play how we want to play, feel good that way. So G-Rap, it's time to kick up first. Do your man a favor, and don't curse.
G-Rap.
Telling me don't curse, I reversed and did it worse. First, I put a curse on every verse. I kinda got outrageous. Check it, even made a record how I'm doing all my B-I-T-T-H's. Dust, it wasn't for the fuck. Every word that you heard, of course, I didn't give up. Aw, shucks. And yo, I almost forgot. The curse is a plot, but it's getting kinda hot. So I'ma let profanity retire. Hey, but if worse come to worse, I'll cut you out like Richard Pryor. So grand poop will kick off first. But do your man a favor and don't curse.
I won't curse. I'll take a famous curse word and just say coof. Coof flipped around the other way means huh. Boy, when I do it, see, I can't get stuck. Jump on a mic, then I earn a quick buck. Buck lean and loose, then I grab some boots and step with my troops. For those who can't follow and got stuck, coof flipped the other way means is this a curse? I freaked the nation a haste, but I made sure I had my hat first. It's time to kick a verse. God cipher divine, we can't curse. The verse I say nope. Grab it by your hand, wash your mouth out with soap. Thinking to be the last one with the bad lingo. Scooping over skins in the church playing bingo. Sounds of the Macadam fresh from the tailor. Because I made a movie when he cuts like a sailor. Better yet, dialect dirty like a subway. Pick a funky loop here to make it go the other way. In a vocabulary scrimmage. But cursing in my village ain't good for my image. So big daddy, you know it's time to kick a verse. But do your man a favor. Don't curse.
The enter, rental discretion's 95, so there's no need to censor. Kiss wanna peep it, but you wanna beef it. What? I feel like slapping a sickle on your
chill, chill, say what?
Two magical rhymes are too tragical for any source to stop. Came from getting capital. If I thought sticking me was dissing me, man, don't you know that this would be worse than Stephen King's misery. So clean off profanity, spilling it all to man to be. Rocking any microphone you hand to me. So heavy D, I'm about to disperse. I kick another verse, and don't forget not to curse. Hey, yo, Big Daddy, check this out. I'm about to do some old slides, slick, smooth, on the trick, step stuff. I'ma bring my little cousin, the producer of this joint. His name is DJ P-Rock, definitely part of one of the family, you know what I'm saying, G? And he about to flex on this head, mic and get busy like a big cousin, you know what I'm saying? Check it. P-Rock, can't get first, but don't curse.
God bless, but I can't mess around with the curses, so I'ma kick verses, or a verse. Soul brother number one here to kick back. Smoke the microphone and produce crazy tracks. Yo, I'm a bad bro, let's start the flow. I'ma kick rhymes till it's time for me to go. I can't curse cause Heavy D said so. Now I'ma get back to the subject, get wrecked. If you think I'm bluffing, just check with the crew. P-Rock and CL Smooth, very down to earth. And we didn't have to curse.
Yeah, yeah, the abstract poet,
watching sick for my tacos, let's get to wreck. You know what I'm saying? Got my man Pete Rock and my man D in the house. And we're definitely chilling on a lifted chip. So bust the shit out. Flim, flam, flim, lick my big black stuff. Must I kick a curse to be rough enough? You can put the sticker where the sun don't shine. So back off and let me get mine. Visions in my head, wanna deal with hits. If I have four girls, then I'll lick face hits. Wait, don't wanna hear no drama. Cause the bum diddly hef is a fave of my mama's. So I'll blew out and get mad lifted. Don't have to stay up to show that I'm gifted. God bless me cause I reached my 21st FD. Don't drop a curse.
I'm talking about a verse without a curse, that's how I reach ya. I can rock a party without a swear or a harsh verb. Black words, no curse words, heavy D prefers. So swing, swing to the sober clean rhythm. Before I say goodbye, let me tell you how I hit them. CLP, Rock G, Rap Maxwell, Big Daddy Q, Tip and me as well. Sound is a beast, thank beat for the beat. This funky beat was made for the street. Notice how clean that we kept every verse, but if worse came the worst, we all said it got.
This is a product of WBNN. This is A&M University, and I'm your host, Ambassador Wadet Mentuhotep L, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation brought to you by Ndozi Time Multimedia LLC. And we return to our topic, Ghanaians of the diaspora, men and women from Ghana that live in other areas of the world, especially America. And ladies and gentlemen, as we complete our show for tonight with Her Royal Highness Queen Aminata, do you have any last comments?
Thank you for having me on the show. I'm very honored to be speaking with you and with your audience. I would just want to encourage the audience. We are doing the Diaspora African Kingdoms Alliance. I want everyone to please go to our website, diasporakingdoms.org, and sign up so that I can get to know you and you can get to know me. Someone from our team will be reaching out. And if you really want to get involved with this movement, that's the first place to start. You can find me on social media at on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, and Twitter, all under HRH for Her Royal Highness Queen Aminata. And if you reach out to me, I will definitely get back in contact with you and get you involved. That's the goal. We want as many people as possible to get involved, and let's move things forward. We're about putting in the work. So if you're serious, reach out to me.
All right, all right. And it's in Ngozi time.
All right, all right. Wonderful program tonight. And thank you so much, Wadet L, and for your guest, Queen Aminata. Excellent show. WBNN has advertising through Ngozi Time Multimedia. We're on Pinterest, Instagram, and Twitter at Ngozi_time and Oladele Milewe Ngozi at Facebook. Any comments and suggestions for our wonderful programming tonight? Oladele.ngozi@my.com. For our mother's and father's favorite producer, Oladele Milewe Ngozi, I am WBNN Commissioner Dr. Chinchilla J, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Forces Radio that support us on a constant basis. And stay tuned tomorrow night to be tuned in for Eating on a Spiritual Level by Chef Yosef, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time tomorrow night. Or you can tune in at www.blogtalkradio.com. Now back to Wadet L.
Ladies and gentlemen,
thank you for tuning in tonight. And also, thank you, Your Highness, Queen Aminata, for being a guest tonight's show. And thank you, Brother O, for the awesome...